Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We see that we have several callers in the queue today, but right now we are unable to access our studio. We're trying to download or sign into the studio right now. We're able to access Blog Talk Radio's site, but for some reason, when we try to get in the studio, it just is a spinning wheel, which is really unfortunate. And I'm in. So that's good. We've had one person hang up, but we've got callers still in the queue, which is great. We had to initiate the show from a telephone rather than through direct connect, which is going to be a poor connection. But in any case, we've got some callers that we can see. So hopefully we're going to be able to bring everybody on successfully. So we're in. That's great. Let's start with our calls, and then perhaps we'll get to our topic. The call-in number is 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us callers, and we have a caller from 860 first, and then 678. Okay, let's see if this works. Can you hear us, 860? Can you respond? Can we hear you is the question. Let's see. Nope. It's not letting us bring callers on.
Can they hear us?
I don't know. I don't know if they can hear us. It's just spinning. I'm taking a screenshot of the error message I'm getting so I can forward this to Blog Talk Radio, but let me see if I can get in on my other browser. Let's 860 and 678. Please hang in there. I'm going to try to refresh right now. Well, while we're refreshing, we can talk because we're on the air, and we were planning to talk about imagination, how it connects to being psychic. And I mean, it's funny because, you know, they seem separate in some ways, because obviously if you're imagining things, they're not necessarily psychic, yet the sixth chakra and the imagination are totally connected. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the imagination is a room unto itself, but it's also it has in it, if you will, a doorway that leads to being psychic. So we have this room of imagination in our brain, and it's a complete room. And in that room, you imagine, and we know what imagination does. So that's what that room does. But in that room, there is a door, and that door leads to another room. That other room, through the imagination, is the room of psychic energy. That's a whole separate room. Via the doorway. If you're able to get through that doorway, then the general impression would be that you are psychic. You have access to psychic energies, which is beyond imagination. Psychic energies is imagination plus. It's imagining plus, the plus being reality. You're just not imagining things, but you're imagining things that are based in reality that have validations that have penetrating energies that correspond to real events. So we can imagine, let's say we imagine a car crash, and there is a car crash outside our house. Was that being psychic, or was that just using imagination? Well, I don't know. You'd have to keep practicing at it to see if your imagination is thoroughly connected to real events in time and space. So what we're adjusting to in our thought is that sometimes imagination can coincidentally be connected to reality. It's just a coincidence. It's just somewhat random, but it's a coincidence. So you can imagine something and it can happen, but that might be considered just sheer coincidence or chance. When you're psychic, you repeat doing that and it becomes a constant vibe. You're imagining things that are actually taking place. Now it's just not random. It's just not consequential. It is actually connected to a psychic energy. So the imagination is akin to being psychic. It's just that the imagination doesn't have a plug-in to actual real events. Doesn't mean to say that imagination can't ultimately become reality. Yes, it can. And that's a good thing. Imagination can become reality. But when we're talking about being psychic via imagination, we're actually saying that we see something happening. It's just not in our imagination. It's in our, quote, vision, our psychic vision. And we're in a whole different room to where we're actually.
Right.
You can imagine the ocean and there's fish in it. So imagine the ocean and there's fish in it. Well, you go down the ocean and there's fish in it. Okay, but that's not being psychic. That's just using your imagination, connecting to something that's real in space and time. But if you say, well, I'm going to imagine the ocean, and I'm going to imagine fish, and suddenly you see a big blue whale come by holding a sign that says, I love you. And you go to the ocean, and there's that whale there. Now, that's psychic. See, psychic is something beyond the ordinary realm of common day imagination. However, that wild.
Well, even though psychic predictions involve ordinary happenings.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They can involve,
because people, you know, constantly are calling about, you know.
Yeah, but
mundane topics. What's going to happen with my boyfriend? What's going to happen with a job? But yes.
The theme of the pertaining to the imagination or the psychic energy is neither here nor there. It doesn't matter what the theme is. It's being psychic.
So anyway, what I was going to say, and I may be jumping ahead of the topic, is, you know, we're talking about imagination and imagining what's real, picturing what's already there, but also making predictions. But also there's another layer of working with energy, and someone recently asked us, how do you work with energy? Well, that's also involved in the imagination in terms of picturing events that aren't really based on a sheer prediction that you're trying to manifest for someone else to occur.
Like I said, the room to being psychic, you walk through imagination, the imagination room. But metaphorically speaking, you go through the doorway that leads from imagination to being purely psychic. The psychic room has a sort of basis of imagination in it, but it's a whole different realm. It's a whole different realm. Man, it's like you're swimming in a swimming pool, and that swimming pool has a tunnel that is connected to the ocean. And inside the swimming pool, there is salt water. There's salt and fish, but you're not really in the ocean. You're in a swimming pool. Well, if you are able to swim through that tunnel and then actually be in the environment of the ocean, that would be kind of a crude analogy to being imagination and psychic. There's an aquarium up north, a kind of a sea reserve, where they captured part of the ocean in this vast aquarium, in this vast enclosure. But it's still not, it's part of the ocean, but it's not really the ocean because it's enclosed. Imagination is sort of an enclosed space, wherein in that enclosed space, there are aspects of being psychic. But are we to say that Jules Verne's imagining the atomic submarine and flight to the moon and things like this, was he being psychic or was he using his imagination? Sometimes it's a fine line. But, and when people make a prediction, people make predictions all the time. A lot of authors, science fiction writers, will make predictions. And in those predictions, ultimately reality sets in. So we have to draw a line. You have imagination. You have visionaries. But a psychic's different. A psychic will be more specific than someone who is casting out the lines of imagination and vision. I have a vision there will be submarines one day, and they're going to go underwater. He's not being psychic. He's a visionary, maybe based a little bit on reality, scientific evidence, or conjecture. But a psychic will say, okay, I see this guy named George. He just killed his brother named Jim. He did it with a knife. He hid the knife underneath the bed. See, this is not a, it can be a vision, but it's ultimately sheerly psychic. And I think most people would understand the difference because they're all sort of linked together.
Suddenly, I'm sorry to interrupt, Neil, but I've been toying with the dashboard while trying to get in. And suddenly we're in our studio with a caller that's been unmuted. It finally worked.
Sounds like she's choking.
It's unmuted by itself. So anyway, surprising because I kept getting these error messages.
Was she choking?
I don't know. I don't even know if this person is aware that we've unmuted her. 860, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi.
Greetings to both of you.
Hi. Hi.
Have you been able to hear us?
Yes.
Oh.
I figured,
so we weren't talking in thin air.
No, I figured that we were able to be heard because I was able to start the show. I just couldn't get in the studio, so that was the issue. Okay. Hi. Well, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
So, you want me to give you my name?
But that would be helpful.
Okay. My name is Susan. I haven't got a reading from you in a long time.
Oh, you know what? I recognized your number, Susan. Susan, I was almost said your last name on the air, which I'm not supposed to do. Yeah, I know exactly who you are.
I called today because what's that?
I was just going to ask you if the Everly Brothers have woken you up yet, because I'm not sure who
Susie.
You are.
That's Susie, not Susan.
Well, sometimes.
I don't think she goes by Susie. Okay.
I don't even know if she knows who the Everly Brothers are.
She's your era.
Oh.
You guys are same generation. Go ahead with your question.
So, anyway, I've been kind of put into this horrible situation, I mean, really bad situation.
Okay.
Which is now turned legal, and it pertains to work. I'm going to see about an attorney this afternoon, but I'm just hoping that these people don't get away with what they're trying to do. I'm hoping you can give me some insight.
Okay. Well, can you just give us a little bit more information for the brevity of time, because it's a radio show? What
sure.
is going on with the situation that you are involved in? What legal matter?
Something was said that supposedly was intimidating matter, a degree for me. and they got the police involved.
So you said something. You said something to someone.
Yes. Because I've been rather what's the word? Under the radar, they're trying to fire me. So
is that a job?
We had special. Yes. So I was explaining something to a person, and someone went to the police and said that that what I was saying was intimidating. So they came to me and questioned me at the end of the day on Friday. I talked to them, and they released me, you know, signed a paper, that's my statement, and I went home. 12 o'clock, midnight, they came knocking at my door, and they said, we decided to arrest you. And I got arrested. It was horrible. I'm not a kid. I'm an elderly, you know.
I remember your master number is 8. I can't remember if it's 35, 8, or 26. What's your birth date again?
10/29/58.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, is you're 29/1958. See, I told you guys we're close in age. Okay.
So,
12,
yeah.
22.
So now I'm in the fight of my life right now. I will be.
Where are you currently right now?
She's in Connecticut.
No, I mean, you were arrested. Are you in? Where are you at right now?
Sorry.
They arrested me and released me. They just did it to arrest me.
I know it's a legal matter. We shouldn't really be discussing this on air, but aside from that, was it did you make a statement threatening somebody's life or something? I don't know if
no,
it's safe for you to repeat.
No, I did not. I only said that what they're doing to me at work, which they are doing a lot to me there, is what they were talking about
in
training. Why they're what's that?
What I mean, what would cause them to arrest you? What did they claim you said? Even if it differs from what you actually said.
They said we're not even going to go there. That's what they said. And even when they arrested me, I said, "What are you arresting me for?" They said, and they wouldn't tell me. I said, you have to tell me why I'm being arrested. And I don't know, something with intimidation to the second degree, which is a felony. And all I was talking about is this is why there's shootouts. Like, people at work are trying to get fired. They get frustrated. But I didn't say I was good. I even said I don't even know the gun. But, you know. It was not to intimidate anyone by any.
Did you say something like that? Like, this is why there are violent acts at work?
This is what we just learned in training, all of us. So I was referring
to what we
learned
in
training.
So that's what they say. So in their estimation, that you were making a threat, or they're claiming that you're making a threat by repeating
what
you
learned in
training. Right, but what they're claiming.
They
learned
Mhm.
So
yeah.
You
so I
that,
guess there's the stress of the word by any means that's a threat. No, it's not, because we all learn the same material.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't. Susan, I wouldn't worry about it. If you go to a judge and you say, I repeated what was told to me in training. I repeated the same words. If I'm not to repeat the same words, they gave me no warning. I was only repeating what was said in training. So the person training us should be here. I mean, you know, if I was talking in conversation and referring to the training class, and the training class inferred something about violence or the threat of violence, and I was repeating that in context, what I was saying was taken out of context. But it's this sounds so silly to me. It's incredible.
But
I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, the problem.
Well, I'm being paid, so it's not that devastating. Not, you know, it could be worse.
So you're being paid, but is this there? I mean, are they going to let you go because of the fact that, you know, this has been raised to a criminal level?
Now it has to go before a judge.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, Susan.
As far as keeping your job, though,
no.
Like, what kind of protections are there for you to keep your job? How you've worked at this? Is this the job you've had since you called us last?
Well, yes, since around 2013.
2013.
No, if you're found, if the judge finds that this is just you were talking and it was taken out of context, and they fire you, you can go to the you can sue.
What? But you
I
said
mean,
they. But
under
she,
those conditions.
But she's saying that they wanted to fire her prior to this, so they're obviously trying to get her out.
What they were doing is they scheduled the meeting to give me a warning. That's how all of this, and that's why I was talking about it. Because they
why
just got
they,
me under radar.
What were they warning you for?
Being tardy, which I wasn't. I send an email every morning I come in to my supervisor, manipulating my timesheets, which I wasn't. If I made an error, my supervisor approves them. Just bogus things. Just to get a rise.
Do you work at a? I can't remember. Do you work at a school? I'm trying to remember where you work.
Yes, I work at a school.
Yeah.
You know, you may need a lawyer.
No, that's what I'm doing today. I just hope you. That's where I'm going when we get off. I'm driving to an attorney's office.
Yeah, you need to discuss this with a lawyer because we obviously don't know all the details and why this is going on. You're stating that they're harassing you and manipulating things and fictionalizing your actions to the point that it's costing you your status and reputation. So this is something that mm-hmm. that lawyer has to. But you
exactly.
know, I don't know
I
how unhealthy this environment.
Are you seeing a criminal defense attorney? Are you going to see? I mean, there's probably two avenues,
yeah,
like an employment lawyer as well as a criminal defense attorney that you need.
Yeah, I'm seeing a criminal defense.
You may need an employment attorney, too, because if they're trying to terminate you unfairly, then, you know, you may need defense against that. But, of course, it can get costly.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So I was just wondering,
like
I know. What's that?
What do you do, accounting or bookkeeping?
I can't really say because it's going to, you know, then be related to
okay.
You know what? You know what, Susan, I don't think if it's an unhealthy environment and you leave, you'll find other work somewhere. And if they reinstate you, they'll leave you alone because you will have proven your innocence and they will be reprimanded for doing what they did. It all depends on what the final outcome is going to be. You know, either you're going to get reinstated and they will leave you alone because now they could be in trouble for threatening you further, or they
mm-hmm.
or you'll leave. But I think in any respect of the word, you're going to be okay. The best avenue will. Yeah, you're going to be fine. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. You know, this sounds like it's threatening and all this, and it's serious, and you're nervous. But this isn't. You know, you didn't do any. There's no proof that you did anything. This is all hearsay, and you're going to have a criminal defense, and probably what I think is
maybe won't even go there before she's. I mean, there may not even be a trial or
you'll
anything. It's probably going to be dropped.
Okay, so psychically we're assuming you're going to be victorious here in some respect. And then from there, you can either get back to work and they'll leave you alone, or if you don't want to work in that environment because it's not healthy for you, you'll move on and find another job.
Okay.
But I would sue them.
That was basically,
where
I was headed. Like, do you see me charged? Like, could this get that far?
No, we don't know all the details, but I don't think so.
I think
so.
They're going to drop. I mean,
I don't think so. Somebody has it out for you there. I don't know what. Somebody doesn't like you there, or maybe a group of people, and they don't know. They don't understand how deep they're getting into this by threatening you. They can get into a lot of trouble.
How long have you been having problems there?
I'd say for the past year, where they've been like micromanaging. Only me. I'm the only one they do this to in the whole department.
Yeah, well, you're a scapegoat. You're a scapegoat, so. That happens, but it sounds like you might want to look for something else regardless of what happened,
you
decide to keep you or not.
You put up a good fight, and we don't know all the details, and there's always two sides to the story, but you're
That's
calling
correct.
Our show. We're backing you up. You put up a good fight, you kick their ass and sue if you have to, and then go on with your life. I wouldn't worry.
Okay.
You're not going to be charged.
This is almost, to me, elder abuse. Like, you can't just put someone under so much pressure.
Oh, they're idiots. People like this
have no
life.
They do that, though. I mean, you know, people do that in workplaces. We had another girl call. Remember that girl that was having problems with the job, and the guy was talking to her former employees about what she was doing and gossiping.
Yeah,
and, you know,
job harassment. You let your criminal attorney decide the moves he wants to make, and he'll take a percentage, and you'll win.
My sense about it.
Or you get a public defender. Or you get a public defender, which is free. It won't cost you anything. So you have to find out what they're going to charge you.
My sense about it is that the big boss is very much knows the police well. Our building is right next door to them. And has his way. You know, he can have his way. And that was my whole feeling about it, is that this isn't about anything I said. This is about what they can do to me.
Well, don't keep looking at the big picture of how powerful they are.
Yeah.
You just stand your ground, state what you stated, let your criminal defense attorney represent you, and let's hope we get these people banned.
Yeah, and hopefully they will end up dropping the case before it even goes anywhere, because they'll realize they don't have a lot of traction to go forward on, you know?
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Susan.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay, take care.
All right. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let us know what happens. Bye.
All right.
Okay. 678. Never feels good to be in a situation like that in the workplace.
Yeah.
Drama in the workplace is no fun. Okay. Hi, 678.
Hello.
Hi.
How you all doing? My name is Casey, and I'm calling Georgia.
Hi, Casey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good today.
Okay.
My question is, I keep seeing the court number 1. And I've been seeing them now for like maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And I just want to know
What number? The number?
Court 1s. 401s.
401? Okay, what's your birth date again, Casey?
It's 9/20/79.
That was 9/20/79. Okay.
You don't have a 401, do you?
A 401k. No. Maybe you need.
No,
it's a sign
every time
that you should invest in one. You need to start saving for retirement.
Yeah.
21, 37, 10, 1. Well.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
It means nothing. You probably see streetlights too, and stars, and moon, and buildings. You saw 401.
Your mind is fixated on the 401.
It means nothing. And don't let anybody think it means anything. When you see numbers like that, it gets,
sometimes it means something, but
in this case, it means nothing. You're seeing it, but it means nothing. Before my mother died, she kept saying, "I see the number 11. I see the number 11." It meant nothing. And nothing happened. She didn't die on the 11th. She was just looking at a number, and it stuck in her brain. And then whenever she saw it, she started to, you know, numbers are around us. Now, if you're looking at, where are you seeing these 401s?
Probably at a clock.
Yeah, it's I see them, like, every time I'm driving, it may be some 401s on a car. And then, of course,
like
on my clock. Yeah, like
random.
A license plate. In like
number.
On home. Mm-hmm.
You're looking at the number. You're for some reason you got fixated on the number, and then whenever it randomly comes up in your environment, even with good timing, you're thinking, "Oh, this means something." It means absolutely nothing. It has no meaning.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
You
There's a book about, you know, angel numbers, and I think that it goes through all the numbers, you know, from 1 to 999, and each number supposedly has a specific meaning. I mean, you know, really, it's
bull. You know, this is like topic of our show, Casey. If someone said, hey, listen, you're going to see a blue sedan, and the license plate's going to say 401, and there's going to be a kid in the back seat looking at you with a little puppy dog, and they're going to be waving at you, and that means you're going to win $100. Now, that would be different. But to say that you keep seeing numbers, what if you kept seeing a girl with a red sweater, and whenever you saw a girl with a red sweater, you go, oh, my God, that must mean something. It doesn't mean anything. You know, the random elements of seeing things, Casey, that occurs in the world sometimes. And you'll see it. Sometimes our clocks or our biological clocks are geared towards something. So whenever we look at the clock with the biological ticking of our body, it says 2:10. We're geared. Mm-hmm. I wake up every morning at 6 o'clock. I don't have an alarm. My body just comes up
it's the circadian rhythm of the body.
Yeah. Now there's a book.
Yeah. So I pulled this book out. Why did I waste my money on this? I don't know. But anyway, I have it. 401. This is a message from God and the angels reminding you to stay positive.
It's not 401. It's not 401. The number is 1111. Chord 1.
Oh, 41.
41. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay, so it's 4-1.
Matter. Yeah, okay.
I don't care if the number was 666. It doesn't matter.
and I mean, when you get into the idea of 11s, and there's a lot of misinformation about 11s because you're seeing a double 11, you know, people say 11 is a sacred number. It isn't a sacred number. It is not a sacred number. 11 is not a sacred number. It has a lot of negative connotation. For you, using that series of numbers doesn't have a negative connotation. It's the same thing.
You know, we're numerologists, Casey. So, you know, if anything, numbers are going to mean something to us. And I've been doing this over 50 years. It's silly what people come up with numbers. Okay. It's just nothing. And this is nothing. You see 4-1s. Maybe they're chicken scratches. I don't know.
Well, you know, 11. Stay positive. Your thoughts are materializing. Rapidly. I mean, give me a break.
Doesn't mean anything. And your life is going well. You know, if you win $1,111, then call us and tell us we were wrong.
Or if you go into debt. $1,111, let us know.
Be careful. You know, the idea of feeling superstitious about things can feed on you. And then mm-hmm. you make the superstition feel real, like it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing but it's a coincidence that has a little bit of energy in it. That's all. But don't worry about it. It doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
What do you do for work? What do you do
She works with do you care for people, home health aid or something, right?
Yes. I sit with a 90-year-old lady every day.
Well, then you get four points for doing that. That's an A.
Okay. I'll take it.
Okay, Casey. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you all, too.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have 804 next and 226 following. Hi.
Hi, my name is Hugh. I'm looking to see what you pick up on a quantum entanglement I have with somebody who's very well known globally.
Your voice sounds familiar. You've called the show.
Yes, I can identify myself on air because the other callers that you had, I've been through the things that they've been through and a whole lot more. And it is really spirituality, staying out of the fear and letting go and letting God when you can't handle things. So people don't do that. They tend to just manifest more in the negative when they experience it. What do you think about you bring about?
Hugh, where are you calling from?
Well, that's an interesting question, too. I'm currently, since late September 2009, living in Ashland, Virginia, which bills itself the center of the universe. I'm self-proclaimed, Hugh, the heartbeat of America.
We just got the heartbeat of America. Are you a Chevrolet representative? Oh, we only heard that.
Ashland, Virginia, which bills itself the center of the universe.
I see.
I have all these bizarre synchronicities in my life.
Have we spoken with you before?
I spoke with Neil years ago. I want to give him some updates because I finally got somebody to put a lot of information on the internet. I'd like to help, if I can, promote your new book, too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I recognize your voice, and I usually don't.
So was it on a different show?
No, it was a number of years ago. I don't know how long ago, but I did connect. I'm going to be 75 in September, so I have a lot of life experience that I'm looking to show people how to shift into a better way of the chaos that we're in now.
Well, I don't remember him.
Yeah, I remember
so
you.
Spoke with you, but synchronistically, my wife's maiden name was Baker, too. So.
Yeah.
Really?
I remember you.
So that's interesting. So we haven't spoken before, but you've spoken with Neil. Okay,
yeah,
so what's
exactly.
A different show? Interesting.
Right.
And for Neil to remember, it's like...
You have a voice I remember. Your voice stayed locked in my brain, and as soon as I heard you speak, I remembered you. And that's not typical of me.
Not typical at all.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I typically remember, I don't recall you.
No, I never spoke with you.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, Hugh, what's your birth date?
September 22nd, 1944.
Okay. And what's your question today? 1423.
Yes, what I was asking is I have a quantum entanglement with somebody who's very well known globally. What do you see occurring?
You already have.
Well, it almost feels like it's going to be a draw, like you both almost exhaust one another and almost drop the entanglement. That's what I kind of see right now, that it comes to like a draw. There's issues on your side that are penetrating his psyche as much as there are issues on his side that are affecting you and causing a little bit of havoc. But I think in the long run, this doesn't have a destiny where one party is going to get really hurt. It's a misunderstanding. There's an intellectual content here that has gotten kind of captured in the entanglement itself. And that has to do with more or less intellectual content, ideas, things like this that have maybe manifested into a physical element. But I don't know if I'm hitting anything familiar to you.
Yeah, I'd like to just touch base with you on that because the person I'm talking about has a huge ego, and I'm on the spiritual side. I'm not into the ego. So that's interesting.
Yeah, you have a huge ego. You have a huge ego. Ego and you have a huge... Okay, enough of the joke. Go ahead. So he has a huge ego.
And I'm looking to have him become more spiritual, which is a choice for him, but I think he prefers to stay in his ego.
Yeah.
Now, would you like me to reveal who that is that I have the quantum entanglement with? I'm sorry?
You can. You can.
It's President Trump.
Well... I think we all have a quantum entanglement with him.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot because we both grew up in similar ways, and my last name has global recognition. I'm on a path of feeding people body, mind, and spirit, and he seems to think he's king of the world, and wants to have everybody acknowledge everything that he does is the only way for our future, but that's take it and look to help him show that you're just one person and you're not going to be here forever, and you may have been doing some good things, but you're not uniting the people properly, everybody.
Yeah, so like we said, it's a
right.
It's a clash of ideas that comes to a draw, because obviously you're not going to be able to manifest anything with him on a level where you are successful.
Well, I wouldn't do it. I would never interact directly with him, even though he has corresponded with me. And I'll just give three words so you can see this whole big website, and your listeners too, from all my life experiences. If you Google my last name, Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, the word and, A-N-D, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P, it will bring you to a big website, and you'll see all kinds of information, not only on that page, but on the other pages. I've had a very bizarre life. I'm a whistleblower. I also have a poem in the President Ronald Reagan Library, yet I was interviewed by a Secret Service agent back in the 80s that claimed I was involved in an assassination plot. And I was arrested from my bed being disabled, and all that's worked itself out to my face. I was set up by a corrupt police sergeant who's now dead, as well as some of the gossipers that set me up. It's been bizarre, but I'm like
so
a way show.
Can you repeat?
I'm sorry?
Can you repeat the website again?
Well, it's
what
not
I have,
a website. It's
like
just to Google these three words. It's the easiest way to get to the website. Just Google my last name, Trawlson, T like Tom, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, the next word, and, A-N-D, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P.
Okay.
And you're in LA area, is that correct?
Yeah.
I was out there years ago. I lived in the Wilshire District, just north of Wilshire Boulevard on Normandy Avenue near the Equitable Building. I was there for the Sylmar quake in 1970.
Yeah. Well, I remember you. I remember you distinctly, and everything you're saying is legit. I remember doing a reading with you.
Yeah, that's so, where people get confused because of the negativity. They go into fear where I'm saying, look, just follow through everything that's happened to me, and you'll see. My faith in God has seen me through it, but the faith has to be rock solid.
Yeah, you're the real thing. So,
well, we're going to be really interested to look this up after the show for sure. And
you're new to Kristen, so she'll look it up. And but I recall.
Yeah, hang on to my number. I'd like to speak with you up here. I hope I didn't take up too much time, so you can take the last caller. But I'm delighted to come into contact with you at this point.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. And we're with you. Absolutely, on in terms of your viewpoints,
And it's not about religion, but it is about spirituality.
Yeah, well, you keep blowing that whistle, and as Dylan Thomas says, do not go gentle into that good night.
Just to show you how far I have no fear at all, because I came back from a near-death experience. It was very bizarre. But I have said, I don't put it out as a challenge, but I just say, if I'm taken out this way, look out. I say that God has harmonics, which are sound waves. And when they come, if you're a global elite sitting on your yacht in the Mediterranean sipping a pina colada, you might spontaneously combust or explode. The same thing if you're underground bunker somewhere, because God's harmonics will go where God wants them to go. The radio show host said to me, aren't you afraid of retribution? I said, retribution for what? I didn't do anything wrong. They did. If they have a hitman take me out, I ask God to let me eat the hitman's brains out from the spirit. It would be quite painful. I'll be more gentle on him than the guy who hired him. So I don't put it out as a challenge, but it's I'll be more powerful from the spiritual side, so they're better off changing their ways and learning through me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for connecting, Hugh, and we'll definitely look this up, as
terrific.
I said.
Thank you so much. Very interesting, Neil. Thank you. Very, very accurate.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. All right. 226.
Hello, Kristen. Hello, Neil. It's Jennifer.
Oh, hi. It's your secret number.
My secret number, yes. It seems to be for you. It's court date Wednesday, so everyone has court things going on, so I'm going to call and ask about, I've got an appointment at the court with my ex-husband. I'm looking for
I was
ways.
I was going to say, before you said that, I thought it was regarding something with, what is it regarding specifically? With your ex-husband. That's what I thought it was about. I thought it was about your kids. I was going to say kids. Okay, so that was on, but unfortunately you beat me to the punch. But,
sorry.
Go ahead. It's okay.
I'm just looking for any...
glad I'm on track. That's...
and I
for
believe
my own,
that. I don't
my
think...
personal...
I just... is there a way that I should approach it that will be in the highest and best for everyone involved? I'm kind of sick of having to fight him all the time. I think it should just be done with, but
so,
it doesn't seem to be that way in his eyes.
So, and you know, I have a question, just kind of a side question, because when we talked about your financial status and your ability to be able to pay bills, how much money you had and things like that for a certain amount of years. Does he pay you alimony? This is strictly a curious question, aside from the child support.
No.
He does not pay you alimony, so you just have child support from him.
Yes.
Okay. And he's
and you,
fighting child support?
Well, you're wanting to know how are you representing yourself?
Well, now I am, because I spent $10,000 on a lawyer, and I don't think money spent on a lawyer is really helping the kids out. I'd rather see that money spent on their education or something else, not a lawyer.
Well,
so now I'm going to represent
myself. Are you looking for joint custody, or are you looking for sole custody?
We've been through all the custody, so now I said, okay, fine, you want joint and shared custody, you can, you know, you can have the kids more, which I would never said, don't see the kids, but he wanted it split so that he could pay less child support. So now what the arrangement we had initially where I had sole custody, he was actually paying less than he pays now with shared custody because his income's gone up.
His income's gone up?
Yeah.
Well, if his income's gone up, and you both have joint custody?
Yes, joint and shared.
Well, then, well, we're not attorneys. We can't give legal advice, but if his income's gone up, then he should pay accordingly. You
well,
know, the
yeah,
burden can't be on you.
Well, and that's the thing. There's a grid in Canada, so you know, you make this much, you have three kids, it's shared, here's what you pay. So all I'm doing is going to the grid, but he wants to base things on what he's currently making, which is $14,000 less than he made last year, but I'm also making $12,000 less than I made last year. But the numbers that come up when I do all the numbers, it's almost exactly the same, yet he feels like he needs to drag it out, but I want to know what my approach should be, which approach would be in the highest and the best of the kids,
figures.
Him, me.
Well, Jennifer, figures. If he's $14,000 less and you're $12,000 less, go to the courts with figures and say, look, there's not enough difference here to accommodate me having to spend more than him. We should have joint responsibility in the financial stability of our children, and we both need
mm-hmm.
to play a part in that. And I would you base it on the figures that you've come up with. So if he's experienced a drop and you've experienced a drop, it's a 2% difference. So it doesn't, it's irrelevant. You both are responsible. And if he's trying to wiggle it out, just appeal to the courts and say, look, he's trying to evade his responsibilities as a father and still reap all the benefits without putting out the financial stability for them.
Yeah, aside from the fact that he's cost you $10,000 of an attorney to represent yourself, you know, which you're not going to be able to recover.
Yeah, well, they won't care.
Well, yeah.
They won't care about it.
No, they don't. But, I mean, the point is, you know, there's really no other way to go about it but to seek the appropriate amount.
Just go with figures. Go with figures and let the figures be the support of responsibility. You both have responsibility, and it should be split equally. And he's working, and if he's making less, then let him get another job. You know, that's up to him. But but you say you shouldn't carry the burden of being financially responsible for your children when he's alive and working. You've both experienced a drop. And the judge I assume the judge is going to say, you're right.
Okay, so that's, and once he says you're right, which I kind of feel that he will, or she, doesn't matter, will it still continue on? Is there something I can do just to, without having to agree to this nonsense?
You mean you're worried that he's not going to comply if there's an order?
Exactly. Or he'll fight something
else. Back? No,
it's possible that can happen, but you just have to go through legal channels to remedy
that.
Yeah,
you take him back to court and say he's not meeting with his responsibilities, and he needs to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to challenge the joint custody. If he's not willing to pay, you could have court order taken out of his check.
How long have you guys been separated? I mean, divorced?
We've been divorced since January, separated since 2012.
Well, 2012. Have it. What do you mean he's not going to pay? Have it.
10 years.
Have it. Court mandated that's taken out of his check.
Oh, I do. I already did that because he pulled it a few years ago. So it goes through this office that just garnishes whatever has him send it, takes it out of his bank account.
But I think you can expect that he's going to cause problems again in the future because he has a history of doing so. But legal channels are going to be your defense.
You'll be fine. The courts can be very fair about these things, and they're going to make a joint, and they're not going to let him get away with it. You just may have to go to court a couple of times.
They're going to make a joint?
Yeah, they're going to make a joint. They're going to make a joint in a joint.
You'll probably need one after court, Jim.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyway.
So many definitions. But anyways, getting back to
you're
our
bringing
topic,
out the worst in me.
Getting back to
I
our
think
topic
she and I would get into trouble together
we
were in a different relationship, probably.
Now, let's not talk about different relationships. I know where you're going. Way too far.
No.
My God in heaven.
Okay. So. All right. But yes, I mean, do you feel better?
So we quit asking these strange questions to her. I'm starting to have my suspicions.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, please do. Report back to us. When's the court, you said? Friday?
Today at 3:45.
Oh, it's today. So, call us back on Friday.
All right.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so we are out of time and back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Bye.